This is Orbital Nonsense,
a podcast about space magic.
I'm Lily, a witch and an astrologer.
And I'm Veda. I'm just here to ask stupid questions.
Hi, hello. Welcome to Orbital Nonsense. We have a guest.
Hello.
This is Alyssa. Say hi to Alyssa. This is our very dear friend. We've basically already introduced you on the last episode.
Uh-huh.
Or like...
We did.
Gave like a little...
I saw that. Yeah.
But we'll do it again.
Yes.
So I met Alyssa in a development space a couple years ago. A while ago. I'm not good with chronological time or figuring that out. But we were in a development space together for quite a while. And then we've been in each other's home circle. We have a really small home circle.
Mm-hmm.
It's us and one other. and we've been doing that for a while too. So Alyssa, why don't you introduce yourself and like what you do and what your vibe is, and yeah.
Okay, so I'm the straight one in the group, which you've already touched on.
Uh-huh.
And we've known each other for I think 3 years.
That sounds right. You would be better at figuring out.
I met you 3 years ago in development, and we've been friends ever since. And it's so funny because typically in all my friend groups, I'm like the only straight person. Somehow always yeah. Winds up like that. I don't know why, but I'm here for it. So introduction. So my name's Alyssa, as we know. I grew up in New York City. So I'm an East Coast girl. I live in New Jersey now. And I'm a psychic medium. So that's my business. I do that full time. I talk to dead people and dead animals as well. And I also talk to living animals. And I have to say, out of everything, the animals are my favorite, because who doesn't like animals more than we like people? But I should also state, to make it clear, I'm not talking about dead people. I'm talking about living people. So I could talk to the dead people all day, because I think everyone in this room can agree that we would rather talk to the dead people than the living.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole mood there.
Yeah. I could get into that a whole other time, but that's a little bit about me. And I'm just happy to be here.
Cool. Yeah. So you two have conspired behind my back with my consent. And you have figured out questions to ask me, I think.
Oh, yeah. Who should go first?
Oh, this is all you. We're going to have you ask. I'm just here for support and chat. You can do all three questions today.
Okay. So Veda already knows what I'm going to ask. So we did conspire behind your back a little bit. So I actually had 4 questions, but I narrowed it down to 3 in my head.
Okay.
So do you have my birth chart pulled up?
I have your birth chart. I can share my screen. And okay. So...
All right.
This is your birth chart. Let's hear your question.
Okay. Question number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Why do people, after I become romantically involved with them, become obsessed with me?
By romantic involvement, you mean intimacy. Right?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Just to be clear.
Oh, to be clear, dating, having sex with them, whatever, all of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either or both.
Okay. Well, the first major thing I'm seeing is that your 7th house, this one right here, is pretty large. The 7th house is the house of close relationships, not just romantic relationships, also your best friends, your close family members, close colleagues, anyone that you consider close to you is in that house.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it is romantic relationships and marriage and stuff like that. And that being so big just tells me that is a pretty big part of your life. So that doesn't yet say anything about other people being obsessed with you yet. But that's already like a first little bit of a, interesting thing. And then also it's in Leo. And Leos are, you were going to say something, Veda?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was just going to be like, so that is going to make everybody be like, oh, all attention to Alyssa. Like, yes. Let's really pay a bunch of attention. Let's, yeah. That's exactly. Like a whole vibe.
Exactly. Leos are, in general, the performers of the zodiac, the entertainers, the ones that want the attention of others, that draw the attention of others to them. Some on purpose, some just have a natural gift for that. They're just, you know, enigmatic in a way.
That's a Leo placement?
Yeah, your seventh house is in Leo. For the most part, you also have a little bit of Virgo here, right? Because your seventh house is so large, you have two signs in that house.
Also a tiny bit of Cancer, right?
Yeah, like a little
teeny tiny
itty bitty piece of Cancer, yeah. So the Leo is that part. The Leo is the drawing attention to you. People, in a sense, especially in romantic relationships, probably having this need to worship you a little bit and to like put you higher up, like on a little bit of a pedestal. Right?
That sounds like Dawn vibes. Just gonna put that out there.
Yes.
You know, I gotta be honest, I thought about doing that in the past.
You'd be do you know what?
You'd be so good at that.
Because you're a powerlifter and a bodybuilder, there's like a whole subset of like gym bros that love like a muscle-bound Dom. And there's like, there are dungeons that are literally just in gyms where you like wrestle your clients or just like pick up big weights and like there, it's a whole thing.
I think you told me about this before, but yeah, it's totally crossed my mind. I'm like, I think that would be something I could do.
Yeah.
If my business ever fails, you know.
Just go. I mean, yeah, I agree. I think you would be really good at it.
I don't mind people worshiping me, like if put on a pedestal, like that's okay. I could fuck with that a little bit. But it's just funny because a lot of times it's like unwanted obsession, and I have a really hard time getting rid of exes. I have people that come back from 5-10 years ago and I'm like, I don't even remember this person. Like, I totally forgot you existed. Who even is this? And then I have to, like, think about it and be like, oh, yeah, that person. Like, one time I had a guy, I went on two dates with him. Nothing happened. Legitimately, I'll make that very crystal clear. Nothing happened. And he, like, made up fake numbers to try to talk to me. Also, he could have just been a stalker and a weirdo, but.
I mean.
Could be a thing, but. I just think it's been a problem for a long time where I'm like, I had to block numbers and like change my own number multiple times. And I'm like, is this something I'm doing? Like what's happening? And I figured maybe you would know. It's like an astrology thing.
There must be asteroids at play too. There must be like mythology based, like.
Oh, I mean, I have
grossness.
More.
I'm sure that you do. I'm just throwing out some ideas.
Yeah.
Please keep going.
So that already is some of that, right? People, like, in general, if you are in a relationship, you will probably be in a relationship with someone who does that, who will want to worship you, in a sense, who will want you to be the one getting the attention, the one being in the spotlight, the one, you know, being the socialite too, and a little bit of the leader. But you also have this up here is what at least some astrologers call a stellium. So you have 1, 2, 3 major planets in your 10th house, plus an asteroid and the North Node in your 10th house, and with Pluto conjunct your MC. Okay, I will explain what all of this means.
Karmic language.
Yes. So first of all, a stellium just means that there's debates among astrologers what exactly is considered a stellium. I consider a stellium when you have at least 3 major planets in the same house, right? So that's a stellium. That says something about that particular part of your chart. It is kind of like shining a light on that part because there's so much going on there, right? Mm-hmm. And your 10th house is the house of life purpose, but also the house of your reputation, how the world thinks about you, how the world sees you, like at your highest point, right? Because it is the highest point in your chart. And first of all, having Pluto right next to this thicker line is the MC. That is the actual highest point in your chart. And Pluto right next to that, Pluto is the planet of power, of domination to a certain degree, of life and death too, which is interesting because you are a medium. So you are following your life's purpose because it is right there. Being a medium is what you're supposed to do with your life. But also, like, it's that power aspect, right? So that is also something that is very inherent and that you're growing towards and that you're, to a certain degree, supposed to do with this life. Like, that doesn't mean you're supposed to become a dictator. It just means that being the powerful one, Pluto wants you to be powerful, right? Mm-hmm. And that can be that, being powerful in someone else's life. And Pluto can pretty quickly turn toxic and have that aspect of obsession, of taking it too far, going over the top with these things, right?
Okay.
So that makes sense. And also Pluto is like right next to the asteroid Lilith, who is the powerful feminine. She's the dark feminine. There's sexuality, there's kink, there's revenge. So again, you would make a great dominatrix. literally, Pluto is right there and then Lilith is next to her. If you can figure out a way to combine mediumship and being a dominatrix.
Yeah, for real, while I'm stepping on somebody. Your mom, she has a message.
She says you've been a really bad boy. But one of the things that I think is really funny about this is, like, knowing you, like, so much of your personality and your vibe is just inherently really powerful. So this is, like, super not surprising at all to see this.
It goes even, there's more. Like,
I know there's more.
You also have the North Node up there. The North Node is what you're supposed to do in this life, right? The North and the South Node are basically like the opposites. The South Node is the one, what did I do in my past life? What am I supposed to leave behind? And then the North Node is, what is this life's purpose? What am I doing? Where am I growing? And this is right next to that combination in your 10th house. That is all about growth. What am I doing with my life? What is my reputation? What I want to leave behind after I die? What do I want the world to think of me? Right? Mm-hmm. And right next to that, you have the sun, which is obviously your ego, your personality. It's also the one that shines a light on things. And she's over in your 9th house, but Venus gets pulled into there because she's so close, still conjunct to Pluto. Like the MC is right between those two. And Venus is the planet of romance and love, also finance. So, and the senses and a bunch of other things. But you saying that in that way, people get obsessed with me after I, you know, have been on just a single date with them. Yeah, that is because you have Venus conjunct fucking Pluto. Like, yes, this will, I'm sorry to tell you, but this will continue happening. It's just, that is just, and that is probably something that you will, because interestingly enough, this all, this square here, so Pluto has a square with Saturn and Pallas Athena in your first house. Saturn is the planet of limitations and restrictions and the things we have to overcome. So this entire thing is something that to a certain degree you will have to overcome to find the person who can do all that, but in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
And who will not go over the top and to the extremes and become a stalker and become completely obsessed. I mean, he can be obsessed with you, but like in a fun way. Right.
Or toxic relationships in the past.
Yes. You also have Chiron in your seventh house. Chiron is the planet of trauma and wounds that we carry in our life. So that is not surprising. You probably have gone through some not so nice shit when it comes to relationship stuff.
I would say that's right. This is funny. Actually, as we're talking about,
Oh, no, you go. I was going to ask something else. So.
Okay. Before you do that, I was going to say this all makes sense, number one. And number two, I'm actually, I didn't even tell you both, I'm actually sort of debating if I want to go to mortician school and become a mortician.
Oh, okay. I've known people that have done that. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the death care industry. I grew up in a cemetery. So,
yeah. I mean yeah. Your chart says yes. Like with Pluto up there, anything to do with death and rebirth and like anything in that area. Yeah, that is absolutely something you can do with your life and you would be good at.
Okay. So. What were you going to
say? What I was going to ask is if this Venus and Pluto situation, like bisected by the MC,
mm-hmm.
if that is like where a lot of the bunny boiler vibes are coming from.
I mean, it's interesting that like Venus is over in the ninth house, but still in conjunction with Pluto. So they're very close. They're 5 degrees apart. And the ninth house is the house of your worldview, your beliefs, your religion, higher learning, your spirituality, all of these things. So these subjects get pulled into that, and it's almost like the obsession has a religious vibe, and it's like you're this goddess. And that's why they become obsessed, because you have goddess vibes. And
for doming.
Mercury is conjunct Venus. He's too far away from Pluto to really have anything to do with that anymore. But Mercury definitely speaks to Venus, and Mercury is the planet of communication. So you speak it into existence.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you speak to someone and your voice will trigger something, and you're the goddess and you need to be worshipped, and people become obsessed.
Becoming a goddess is fabulous, but the obsession.
That's the issue. That's the issue with religion. a lot of people are very healthy in their religious ways, but religion always has the potential to make people crazy and to have pull in like the obsessed and the insane and the people that take it too far. And that's that vibe, right?
Yeah.
So, does that answer your question?
That does thoroughly answer my question. Now I have a better understanding. It's just funny because it's never from the people I want. It's from like everybody but that one person. I'm like, this
makes
sense, but that's someday.
Yeah.
That is just always the way that goes, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get rid of like this part, there has to be a super obsessive deity with an asteroid.
Let me think. The only one I can think of is Hera, Zeus's wife. But it's still a different vibe because
it's a woman.
It's a woman, and also she's obsessed with Zeus, yes, but she's obsessed because Zeus is an asshole.
Right.
And Zeus just keeps treating her bad and, you know, cheating and blah, and then that makes her literally crazy and she kills people. And
yeah, right. Well, I guess like Poseidon does a bunch of like creepy shit, but he's Neptune, right? There's not a different asteroid for him.
No, I don't think so. And also, I feel like this already explains it
Was going to be curious if there was anything extra funny with an asteroid. That's all.
That's fair. Fine. Do you have another one?
Of course. They're lined up already. I've come prepared. The second is, what placements likely indicate a serial killer?
Oh, that is so funny because I literally had a tiny little bit of a revelation, and I'll have to figure out if I can remember what exactly it was. Because I was listening to a different podcast about astrology, and while they were talking about astrology, I checked my own data for the placements that they were talking about. And one of those placements suddenly, like the entire list of serial killers I have in my data base popped up, and I was like, ooh, what's up with that? Let me see if I can remember what it was, because there were so many placements.
I heard that some of them had, many of them had their sun in Sagittarius.
Yeah, I think that's right. I would have to double check to be super sure about that.
A lot of them are also Gemini suns, I feel like.
Yeah.
That makes sense for Gemini.
I mean,
sorry about the Geminis.
I'm a Gemini moon, so
it's like we're not all bad.
So I will try to explain this in a way. It might take a few minutes to explain it in a way that people who don't know stuff about astrology will understand. So you have a birth chart and you have the houses, right? Every house is in a sign depending on when you were born. Depending on what specifically the beginning of that house, which sign it is in, the house has a planetary ruler. So the planet that rules that house, that sign, every sign has a planetary ruler, becomes the planetary ruler of that house. Make sense so far?
Mm-hmm.
So that means when you check a house, so let's say you check the second house because you want to know something about a person's finances and resources, right? You check the second house for that. And the second house is in Cancer, right? Then you will have to check where is the moon in the chart, because the moon rules Cancer and therefore rules this person's second house. So let's say the moon is in the fourth house. That means fourth house themes will get pulled into the second house. So that can, the fourth house is the house of the hearth and home, your roots, your early education, the mother. That could mean, for example, that that person works from home and makes money that way, right? So it's always this, the ruler pulls themes of other parts of life into a different part of life. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, good. And I think the thing that I discovered was that my list, obviously I don't have all the serial killers in my database, but I have quite a few. And I think it was something about the ruler of the second house being in the sixth.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely have Jeffrey Dahmer in there. I definitely have Charles Manson in there. And they all had the ruler of the second house in the sixth. Now, let's discuss in general what that means. The second house is the house, like I said, of your personal resources, also just material resources, money, the home you live in, the things you use every day, the things that, a nice metaphor is, the things that support your being, where the first house is your being, your personality. The second house is the house that comes right underneath, so it supports that. Right? So that is work, money, all those things. The sixth house is the house of everyday life things. So that is the job that you do. That is the chores that you have in your house. That is everything you do on a routinely basis every day or every week or, you know, that type of stuff. So having the ruler of the second and the sixth just means that they are so closely connected and the things you do every day become a resource. Now, how and why that would make someone a serial killer, I cannot tell you yet, but definitely triggered something. And I went, and it's funny, that was like 2 days ago. So it's that this is not a coincidence that this is a question you're asking me right now, because I was thinking I have to do some more research on that. That is very interesting, because on first thought, that is not something that gives me serial killer vibes, because your resources and your everyday life are somehow connected. That just makes sense. That is just
right
logic, right? But it's so striking that all of a sudden, like, the entire list of serial killers popped up in my data. I was like, that's weird.
Nothing is coincidental.
Mm-hmm.
No, but it's an interesting thing to think about. That, like, okay, so it's like everyday stuff being attached to the house of resources, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that, like, kind of all serial killers have in common, mm-hmm. is that, like, this is an obsessive need, right? And they mm-hmm. have to be in some, like, so being a serial killer comes in, like, stages and cycles, right? So you're not, like, you're not necessarily like kill, kill, kill every day, but you're like thinking about the last kill. You're planning the next kill. You're starting to do the research for it. Then you're enacting that kill. And then you're like writing the bliss from having done that, because you're the kind of shit brain that has bliss from that, right?
Yeah.
So that would be a resource. So whatever like fucked up thing is probably fucked up in the, so this is a question. I'm saying it as if it's a statement. This is definitely, yeah. But wouldn't, so whatever fucked up thing actually be in that sixth house, and then it's just being drawn in to be a resource.
Yeah, that makes sense. That might be at least part of it, because okay. You're right. Like most serial killers, that's how a lot of profilers can actually tell that it's a serial killer and it's the same person, because it happens in the same amount of time distance. I'm wording this great. But like, so it will be like every 8 months or every year or every 3 months or something like that, right? A person gets murdered in the same way. And that's how profilers start making a profile of the serial killer. Oh, it's this pattern of repetition.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, that is definitely a sixth house thing.
Right. So. And then it starts like, you know, like the time that it takes to go through the cycle will like get smaller. And so then it like ramps up, but it ramps up and like, this might be wrong. I'm not like a true crime, like obsessive person. But I read a lot of nonfiction books. So, but I feel like whatever that rate where it starts like ramping up, I feel like I've come across somewhere that said that like the math on that is like pretty similar. Like this is the rate at which, like, even though the time frames might be different, they're like different at the same rate.
Yeah, because psychologically it's a cycle of, you know, having the urge getting bigger until you can't help it anymore. I made quotation marks for those that are only listening. And then you do the kill, and then you have the high after the kill. And a lot of serial killers like will take stuff to put themselves into that situation again. Like they will take souvenirs. I made air quotes again. Like it could be like a piece of jewelry or something, and they will pull that out when the high, when they come down from the high, and it puts them back into the high, but in a lesser way, obviously, than the actual kill. And then that gets lesser and lesser and lesser, and then, you know, it starts all over again. And that, so it's the same phases basically, and only the phases get shorter. But that makes sense, right? It being sort of the same time frame. So basically my answer to that question is I will get back to you because I have a hint, I have ideas. This is definitely something I want to research, because I have been interested in serial killers since I was way too young to be interested in serial killers. And this is really fascinating. So I will definitely research it.
Have a mediumship question for Alyssa.
Ooh,
sure.
So I know that in our home circle, we have done this a few times where we were working on like crime stuff. And then actually that was before Lily was in our circle. So I also did some crime stuff with Lily. And like, I think like the first or second one that I ever did, I was getting a bunch of no's, but I was getting no's because I was so in the mind of the serial killer that I was answering what he thought. So he was like, I was like, oh, he's like very intelligent. He's like really good at like, you know, these kinds of things or whatever. And Lily, it was super funny because she was like, she was doing a really good job of not, you know, giving anything other than like, yes, no, I don't know, or I need more information. But she was just like, I can't take that, but I know why you feel that way. And I just wonder, like, you must have, I feel like you must have done some practice with trying to do mediumship with serial killers. And so, like, what has been the vibe when you do that?
Ooh, it's so interesting. So the couple of times that I've worked on crimes, the vibe has always been different. But most of the time, I can just feel their manipulation. Like if it was a manipulative person, I can almost feel my brain like twist, like to feel how twisted they are. I can normally, for me, it's more of a feeling. It's the clairsentience, which is the feeling. So I could feel their personality. But what happened to you when you were in their mind, I don't believe that's happened to me, like a POV, so to speak. I'll normally just like get how they were, if that makes sense. Like I'll know how they were and I'll describe that. But it sounds like it's just interesting that you got that so differently. But I've heard of other people that I even know, that they will be in like the POV, like they'll see it in that first person sort of thing.
But for me, the whole reading, because it was wrong.
Mm-hmm. I answer why that happened to you. I think you just got to, when you say that, it just feels like you got just so into them. Like it sounds like you blended with them, like just so well, where you were seeing through their eyes. That's really what it feels like. Like, right? Like when you blend with the spirit, it just sounds like you literally were like, I am this person now. Like they have completely overlaid me.
Yeah. And I do think that was the lesson of the sitting, right? Because like, so when we're in development spaces, that's kind of the deal, right? So spirit's teaching you whatever spirit wants to teach you. And you might be in a practice circle where that's kind of, you know, that's what you're going there to do. Sometimes you're in a development class and the teacher's like, we're going to teach you this. And spirit's like, no, we're not. We're going to teach you this other thing. But I feel like the lesson for that one was like, yeah, you can't necessarily get the right information by being in the head of the perpetrator. Like you'd actually get more correct information going into the head of the victim.
But you know what that would be good for like, if you were going to help aid a police investigation, like right. If they need somebody to get in the mind of the murderer, who would be better than you? Because you could say, well, he felt like this and he did this because of this. So that also could be.
It would be good for that kind of situation for
not
sure.
For the person needed you to if you needed to tell them things, then they're like, no, no, no. So in that case, it would be good, but that could be good for solving a case and aiding in the investigation.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you done, and then we can move on, but, so I know that in the space that we were working in together, I have lots of dead people and I have some dead people that were involved in crime. And, you know, so a lot of times we were doing that just because it was easier for me to like validate things or whatever. Right. But have you worked with like straight up dead serial killers?
Well, I remember in a reading, cousin came through and he was a murderer. He wasn't a serial killer, but he did murder someone in the family. And I'll never forget that. And I'm not going to divulge personal information with that. But
no, no, no.
I've never had a serial killer per se that I can. I don't think it's always just been like they've murdered one person. I've also had more so clients that come to me and their loved ones were murdered. That actually happens a lot. And you know what's interesting about this whole thing? When I went to college, I got my bachelor's degree in criminal justice. So I took a lot of criminal classes.
Yeah.
And Police 101. And it's always so funny because I always wanted to be a police officer when I was in school, which might be surprising to both of you. I don't know why. I was like, oh, I'm going to be a cop. And I was living in New York. So I was like, I'm going to be, you know, a New York City police officer. And then I changed my mind like my second year, but I always studied law courses and criminology. Fast forward, even though I never used my degree, obviously like college out the window. But I feel like it's sort of relevant because I get so many cases where people come to me and I help them. I try to help find their missing person. I've been contacted to help find missing people. I've done missing animals as well. And those I do for free because I always say I can't guarantee anything, but like I never charge. I know some people charge. I'm not knocking anybody who charges for that, but I always offer that for free. So people haven't reached out. And something I do once in a while. But in terms of paid readings, it's a lot. I don't think that's a coinkydink. There's a lot of people that come to me and I'm like, oh my God, like this is your son. Like he, you know, somebody did it. And then sometimes they don't know who did it, but they're suspicious. And I will find out. Yeah. Uncle Dick. Or a lot of times they'll just give me a name like Bob or Chris. Chris did it. And they'll be like, oh my God, we all Chris did it. And so they point fingers. And a lot of times, if anything, even though it's still obviously so shitty and traumatic, they get closure.
I've come to a medium for closure and like a similar thing. It was like pulling teeth because my dead person did not want to fucking fess up. But I did get closure. I have two responses to that, and then we really can get back to astrology. One is very short and it's just funny. It's you wanted to be a cop, and literally 2 days ago in the group chat we were sending voice notes about ACAB and all cops are bastards, and that's just funny. So putting that out there. But the other thing is, I think that happens a lot where, so I've been somebody who has had like all of these interests, right? I'm ADHD. So I've had all of these, like I got hyper-focused in this interest and I did that for however long. And then I went on to the next thing and like, blah, blah, blah. And the only thing that's ever held my interest is mediumship. And I think it's for that because you need all of these little bits from other things to be good at mediumship. And I think that's probably what was going on with you with some of this like criminal justice. And
that makes sense. And it's so rewarding, right? It's like you got your closure, which is awesome. But you know what really upsets me? Nobody uses this in real life. Like they can't say, I went to this stranger medium who said she never met me a day in my life. I sit with her 20 minutes and she goes, Chris did it. And the police, FBI, nobody uses that. And I'm like, why don't
they? I think they do, but I don't think that they advertise it. I mean, I know that they do because that's the whole reason that Alison Dubois got famous. Right. So because she was working for the DA for a really long time before she, and very secretively. And then she got outed by a journalist that figured it out. And then she was famous from it. So I do think that probably happens more than
you think. Yeah. But I think I'll be talking to somebody and they live in the middle of nowhere, for example, and their local police department, I don't think they're going to do it. You know what I mean? It's too bad they're not open about it. And even if they didn't say who they use, they don't have any of that. But I think if everybody was open to it, how many cases could we actually solve collectively?
I mean, as long as it's bringing through evidence, like if you can bring through evidence that can then be validated.
Right. That's the important part, right?
Matter. Like why you got that tip off. Like you're obviously not involved. And the only reason that it should matter where you got the information is if you broke the law to get it, which you didn't do, or if you are part of the, you know, perpetrating of the crime, which you're obviously not out there doing.
So interesting. Okay. Interesting stuff.
Do you have a third question?
Ooh, my third and final question is really related to what Veda said. So I'm technically diagnosed with ADHD, but I do believe I might have it because I hyperfixate on things. And I wonder if that shows up in my chart. I have my phases. I have my phases of things and then I get over them. I'm like, boring, next.
Fair. I mean, let's look at your chart again. That is actually something that I'm basically doing long time study with. because I want to figure out how exactly that presents in a chart. So I will gladly use you as an object of study. two things I look at first when I look for neurodivergence in general, and especially ADHD, is where is Gemini in your chart? Because Gemini is a very ADHD sign. It's basically the ADHD zodiac sign. It is all over the place. It is chaotic. It is very communicative. It is very curious. Geminis want to learn about everything, but preferably all at once. So, remind you of something. And you have Gemini in your fourth and fifth house. Those are mostly empty except for the south node in your fourth, though. So that doesn't tell me a lot. It's to do with early childhood. So it just tells me that you've been like that early on. The fifth house is the part of the chart that represents fun and games, basically, and also children. So it might be a hint that this is something that you would pass on to any children you would have if you were to decide to have any. Mm-hmm. But this is not a lot to go by, right? So then the second. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I said, wow, okay.
Yeah, so then the second thing I look at is Mercury. Because Mercury is communication, but Mercury is also pretty fast moving, pretty all over the place. Mercury is Hermes, the great messenger. Anyone who has ever tapped into that energy, Hermes definitely has ADHD. and we've mentioned Hermes before when we were talking about people getting obsessed and you speaking that into existence, because Mercury is in your seventh house conjunct your Venus. It is also in Scorpio, though. So Scorpio things are deep. So that means if there is ADHD in your brain, that is a weird way to say that, but apparently that's how I said it. It would be hidden. It would be deep. It would be not something that would have been recognized early on in your childhood, right?
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes sense that you're questioning it now as an adult. It's in your ninth house, so it's to do with the way you think specifically when it comes to higher education. So this is not elementary school stuff, but like building opinions about the world, basically, right? And like university study is in the ninth house. So mm-hmm. those would be the parts that would be affected by you possibly having ADHD. So I want to say your chart isn't the most ADHD chart I've ever seen, but also it's not in there. So
maybe a sprinkle of it.
So yeah, so it could be there, and it could just be that you learned how to mask it early on in childhood. That's where the Gemini fourth house comes into play, right? So which honestly is a thing that is not uncommon, specifically for feminine presenting people. They tend to get recognized later in life because we learn to mask that stuff really early. So it is deeply hidden. That's the Scorpio, the Mercury Scorpio. So it gets diagnosed later in life, if at all. So that I would also pull into question. If you actually could get a diagnosis, it might be the case that it is so deep inside of you. Like Scorpios want to keep everything really close to heart. Scorpios don't love sharing stuff about their personal stuff, their personality. They like keeping things close, keeping things secret, keeping things safe. So that is that vibe, right? So it might be the case that you wouldn't even be diagnosed because it's just hidden too deep.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I do close. I will advertise some things, as we all know. Certain things I'll advertise, and other things you have to like rip it out of me.
Yeah. You have a lot of planets in Scorpio. So that whole entire Scorpio vibe is a big part of your personality. You have like Jupiter, Mercury, Venus, and Pluto in Scorpio. So yeah, that's a big part of your personality.
I feel like it fights with my Sagittarius placements.
Oh yeah, because you because you have important Sagittarius placements too. So.
Like, yeah, don't say it. Choose what you're gonna say.
Yeah, and Sagittarius are the ones that want to go outside and are really talkative and want to connect and are extroverts. And I'm not saying that every Sagittarius sun is an extrovert, by the way, but that's the general vibe of the Sagittarius, right? They want to connect. They want to learn. They want to travel. They want to learn and study and do all the things. And then Scorpio is more like, no, let's keep it in here. Right. So the answer to that question is maybe.
Have to find out. Okay. I'm a little up there.
It certainly wouldn't hurt to read about ADHD and to maybe incorporate like certain strategies to deal with ADHD into your life. And obviously, I'm not going to tell you not to get diagnosed. That would be stupid. Like, if that is your journey, go ahead. I'm just saying that be aware of that fact, right? Be aware of that being hidden deep, and don't be disappointed if a psychologist will tell you, I can't see it. That doesn't necessarily mean it's not there. It just means you're highly masking, right? So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
You had said earlier that you had four questions. What's the fourth question?
If it's a quick one.
Yeah, I have a quick one.
Cool. Yeah, shoot.
With all of our charts, how do we all connect? How do we all tie in with one another?
Uh-huh. Oh, so you mean specifically us three?
Mm-hmm. If that's a long answer, that's fine.
Can you stack three in a synastry chart?
I can't in this specific app. There's other apps that can do that. I don't have those though, because they are ridiculously expensive.
anything based off knowing all of our charts.
So if anyone is interested, by the way, in what the app is I'm using Luna Astrology. You can find it if you Google that. You have to pay for it. But it's a web-based app, so you don't have to download anything. And the web-based part is nice because it has like a huge database of asteroids, for example. And all of that is in the cloud. You don't have to download all of that information to a computer. And it's on the more affordable side when it comes to astrology software. So, and it's really good. I definitely recommend it. So mostly what I find interesting is that, Alyssa, you and I both have important Sagittarius placements. You are a Sagittarius sun and your Mars is also in Sagittarius. I am a Sagittarius rising. So there's we are similar in the way that like we present to the world and that we have a similar energy. Mm-hmm. Then we have discovered before that Veda and I, we share the same Mercury placement. We both have Mercury in Pisces. So, and that is interesting because we can talk for hours and hours and hours and hours. Like we never, ever, since we've known each other, had a situation where we were sitting there and it was uncomfortably silent. No. We can talk about anything and everything and for hours and hours and it never gets boring.
So really quick, just because mm-hmm. I know Alyssa knows this person, you know who else has a Pisces Mercury?
Oh. Is
Michael Mayo.
Oh.
Uh-huh. I really click with him. So I was like, oh, that fucking tracks. And he also definitely is ADHD.
And Alyssa, you have Mercury in Scorpio, which is another water sign. So it's a little different than Pisces, but it's not super different. It's right. in the same family. Right. So that tracks because we also can, like, we haven't known each other that long, but we can also talk easily, I feel like. So that makes sense. So so basically in general, if you want to check if you vibe with someone, those are the placements to look for. Like where are the important placements? The sun, the rising sign, the moon. If that's in the same sign or at least the same element, there's a good chance that you will vibe with one another. If you have something like Mercury in the same sign, Mercury represents communication. So that's probably someone you will be able to talk to really right. well, right? Then other stuff, if you have Chiron in the same or similar spot in a chart, you will be trauma dumping on each other, probably.
Love that.
Right? So yeah, that's just a general thing on how to tell that. And I could always go more in depth and put our charts all on top of each other and tell you how or create synastry charts, which I think I've explained in an earlier episode what those are. It's literally an entire branch, relationship astrology, how to tell how you vibe with another person.
In the last episode, we looked at the asteroids for all of the muses and we went through them in mine and we like said what everything meant in my chart. But then we did a synastry chart and we saw how the muses, our muses in each of our charts were talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's so cool. I never heard.
It's sometimes creepily accurate. Like for example, the muse of astrology, among a few other things, was in Veda's 11th house of community and friendship. So I saw that and I was like, oh, I'm in there. That's me. I'm in your chart.
I had tragedy in my first house. So it was like, you know what your personality is? Tragedy.
Yep.
Death. That makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Cool. Yeah. So yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think it does. And now I learned a little bit more about astrology today.
Good, great. I mean, that's not necessarily the purpose of this podcast.
I have notes so I can do my own research later, but this was fun. Yeah.
Cool, great. Okay. So
all right.
We hope you enjoyed this. This was so much fun.
Before you go away, though, Alyssa should say where people can find her and follow her. She's a great medium. I literally just the other day did a TikTok about how there's like so many shit mediums. Alyssa's not one of them. Alyssa's really good. Takes development very seriously. Really works on her craft. Also teaches really well. You're one of the only development teachers that I know of that makes a point to like be really to bring in like queer elements and to your teaching space, that's like shockingly unrepresented. Yeah. Oh, mediumship development. So please drop all of your, this is what I do, here's how to find me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. I appreciate you. I'm blushing. Okay. And it's good that you brought that up about the queer elements. Yeah. So a lot of teachers that even myself, even people I've taken their courses, they don't really bring that up at all. Like period, point blank. And then what happened was when I went out into the real world to do readings, I was getting, and I am familiar, like my sister is a lesbian. I have a bunch of, you know, LGBTQ friends and things like that, but never pulled somebody with any of that in a reading before. So I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, he's gay. But then it wound up that he was actually trans. And I wish, like, if you know what I'm saying? Like, I just wish that they would have brought it up so that we could have become familiar with it. You know what I'm saying? Even in my psychic readings, I remember, I'll be honest, I made a mistake one time and she was a lesbian. And I was like, oh, your partner. And I said, he, and like, I was, and then she was like, well, I don't like men. And I was like, shit. Like if somebody taught me. And so I had to work with spirit and I was like, I need to teach my students. So I had Veda come through in one of my circles, bring through some people for my students to learn. So anyway, in my classes, you will learn how to do mediumship, connect to the other side for pets or people or both. And then I also teach psychic development, psychism. So you can go to my website, which is themusicalmedium.org. Also for readings, I do 1 hour or 45 minute sessions for both psychic and mediumship. I also have a combination reading for an hour and it's all on Zoom. So you could be in Scotland or Germany, like my friend, and do a reading. What else did I miss? Also, oh, my handles, right? So I do a lot of readings on live stream or you can just watch my content. So on TikTok, I'm the musical medium and on Instagram, it's the same. Except on Instagram, it's the musical medium _. So just be careful because there's a lot of people pretending to be me.
I will also put your info and all the links in the description box below. I feel so professional saying it like that. So if you want to find Alyssa and watch her content or book her for a reading, you will find all the links down below.
Perfect.
Okay. This was lovely.
We loved having you on today.
It was so much fun. Thank you for being here.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me. Maybe I'll come back.
Oh, yeah.
Have you back. That'd be great.
Anytime. Okay. Well,
you'll have to come back when Lily does more research to answer the serial killer question about our we'll call you back.
Yes. You mm-hmm. let me know when you do it. I will. All right.
Okay. So do all the things, like and subscribe and all of that stuff. And we hope you enjoyed this.
We haven't worked out how to do that in a better way yet.
Okay, so, thank you for listening. Okay. Bye.
Bye.